Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A new report from the State Department of Administration's Council for Women and Youth Involvement provides a sobering assessment of the rates at which North Carolina women are participating in politics and government. The report finds that while North Carolina women make up 51% of the population and have been voting at slightly higher rates in recent years, their representation in elected office has actually declined. Indeed, at the current rate of change, it will be the year 2084 before women reach parity in the state legislature. Recently, I got a chance to learn more about the report, its findings, and recommendations from the council's executive director, Mary Williams Stover.
It's good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much.
So y'all over at the Council for Women and Youth Involvement are doing a lot of important work for the state of North Carolina. Why don't you refresh our listeners' memories about what the council does and some of the duties y'all have?
I'd be happy to, Rob. The Council for Women and Youth Involvement is an advocacy agency. We are part of the Department of Administration, one of several advocacy agencies. And our job is to provide opportunities for educating the public about the issues impacting women and youth in our state. We do that in many ways by publishing research on the status of women, which we'll talk about later. But also we do that by monitoring agencies, domestic violence, sexual assault programs around the state that receive state appropriated funds through us, and also by working with state youth councils and the state internship program to provide learning opportunities for college students and high school students about state agencies and the kinds of careers that people can have within those agencies, as well as bringing awareness about human trafficking and building opportunities for people to really engage through commissions and boards to help advise opinion leaders about solutions.
Wow. That's a lot. We appreciate
that.
That's a lot of different areas, and we sure appreciate you doing it. This new report that you all have out is about political participation, right? The status of women in North Carolina when it comes to political participation. And from my reading of it, there's some hopeful signs, but there's a lot of progress still to be made in our state. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. We have made progress in many ways, but we definitely have more work to do. We've made progress in terms of the share of women who have been appointed to statewide boards and commissions. That's been an increase over the past several years. And that's a good entering point for many women in terms of getting involved in running for office and learning about careers in public policy and public service. But we've decreased in terms of our representation in terms of the number of women who are actually representing North Carolina in Congress, and also at the state Senate and in statewide elected offices.
Yeah, I noticed from the statistics you mentioned the appointments. On that front, it does seem that the Cooper administration, right around half, I guess it was like 49% of appointees to boards and commissions were women, which probably is a record, I assume, from where we've been in the past. But as you also note, when it comes to getting people elected to office, we still have a long way to go. And of course, we're having this discussion right around the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, a woman's right to vote. I guess the hope is that it won't be another 100 years before we really reach some sort of state of equity in the political world.
Well, it can't be, Rob. I can't wait 100 years. I won't be here. And my little granddaughter won't be here either.
I hear you.
You know, the report does a projection, and it identified the fact that if we continue at this current rate, we won't have equal representation in the North Carolina state legislature until 2084.
I saw that. That's just amazing. We're definitely proceeding at a snail's pace there. In fact, I noted that on that same point that whereas some states have made more headway there, and North Carolina is sort of middle of the pack when it comes to some categories. When it comes to this representation, we're something like 43rd in the country.
Absolutely. We're 35th in the nation, actually, in terms of women's political participation, because we're looking at certain categories, both in terms of participation, registration, the women who are representing us in elected office, but then also what we're calling institutional resources. And that's one of the areas where we're doing pretty well, in fact, is the resources for women to learn about how to run for office.
Well, I guess that's one of the hopeful signs going forward. Overall, I guess the grade was, however, was still pretty low. I think we got a D for political participation generally. One thing that I also was struck by in the report was you drew a direct link between sort of beneficial outcomes when it comes to public policy that benefit women when, not surprisingly, more women are serving in office.
That's right. One of the benefits of having more representation is that women bring up issues and identify needs that, of course, impact women, right?
Right.
And so the recommendation moving forward is, how do we provide greater access for women? How do we make sure that women are able to vote, just as we want all people in our state to vote safely? And how do we make sure that our process is eliminating barriers to voting and getting involved in our political system?
Let's do talk about that. Let's talk about some of the recommendations, maybe get a little specific about some of the recommendations that are in your report in terms of how do we address this? What are some of the things we could do to actually make sure that more women and, in general, more people participate in our political system?
Well, we really need, and this is certainly a topic of discussion right now, we need to ensure safety for voters.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that people know how they can vote on Election Day, whether they're doing mail-in voting or whether they are also getting involved in getting out the vote, so that we can make sure that the representation and the desires of women who vote are represented in the result. We can also make sure that we recruit more women to run for office. That was one of the interesting points that was brought up during our discussion, is that women often wait until they're asked or invited to run for office. So really expanding the invitation and making sure that there are sponsorship and education and training programs available. And then just addressing the structural barriers that prevent women from running for office. You know, women often are responsible as single heads of households. And so if you're out there campaigning and you're attending events in the evening and the weekends and you're a mom, childcare is an issue.
Along those same lines, an issue I know, I don't believe it's in your report, but I wonder if it's something at some point that deserves discussion is, frankly, the very low pay that we provide, for instance, to state representatives and senators. It has become increasingly almost a full-time job, and yet the amount of money that people make really, unless you've got a spouse or you happen to be independently wealthy or you've got a, you know, a law practice you can take a leave of absence from, it's almost impossible really to serve in the General Assembly when you're making whatever it is, $13,000 a year plus a per diem.
Absolutely. That is why you see many people who are in the General Assembly who are older or who have a more stable income. And remember, Rob, pay equity is also an issue for women who are not paid equal salary for equal
right.
work. And so that bears out in the General Assembly as well. And that's a topic that would be great for another show, right? How do we increase the pay for our elected officials?
I would hope we could do that. This isn't the only area, though, that you've reported on, of course, when it comes to the status of women in our state. We've had you on to talk before about women's health. What are some of the other issues that the council is, or are there other issues that the council is looking at that maybe we'll be getting reports on in the coming weeks and months about the status of women in North Carolina?
We also released a report on the status of women, employment, and education. That report is also on our website. You're right, we released the status of women, health, and wellness last year, and then this is the political participation report. Next year, our goal is to release the fourth in the series, and that is the status of women in North Carolina with regard to poverty and opportunity.
People can check this stuff out if they go to your website, which is just Google North Carolina Council for Women.
That's right. All of our reports are there.
So as we come to the end of our time with Mary Williams Stover from the Council for Women and Youth Involvement, y'all had an event this past week on August 25th that, while it's already passed, people can check it out online, right? That sort of focuses on these very topics we've been discussing.
That's right. We had three events scheduled in August when we released the report. And it allows viewers to hear from women who are actually holding office right now and hear about some of the challenges and also the opportunities that they see moving forward. For example, We've interviewed Sheriff Paula Dance of Pitt County, Representative Sarah Stevens, and also we've interviewed Senator Valerie Fouché and Commissioner Nita Alam. These were really interesting conversations, Rob, that are all going to be on our website that were recorded. And so I would just encourage folks to take some time and check it out.
Yeah, please do check that out. That's a way to sort of get a handle on the real life experiences of women who are serving in our state, the challenges they face, their hopes and dreams for the future. It's a bipartisan group. It's important stuff. Mary Williams Stover, again, thank you so much for being with us. Please keep up the good work. We'll talk again real soon.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please wear your mask. Stay safe as best you can. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.